This is Carrie, jumping on to tell you that something really weird happened with India's audio on this episode, but we didn't know it until I went to actually edit it. And since I have pretty limited editing software, I couldn't do a whole lot to fix it. So there are going to be some weird times where India sounds a little bit like a chipmunk, but we thought this episode was important enough to go ahead and leave it up. Just know that the audio is a little bit messed up. It is not you, it's us on this one. And I also wanted to say something very important we forgot to mention in this episode specifically is that Aska does have a threat assessment on their website available for you to take a look at if you do need some guidelines on how to get started with a threat assessment. So with that, enjoy the rest of the episode. And as always, thanks for listening. Hi, I'm Carrie Frederick.
And I'm India Strother.
And we are two school counselors, and we are talking about threat assessments and school shootings in this episode. This is a really kind of timely thing, because if you're listening to this in pretty real time, just a couple weeks ago, there was yet another school shooting in the state of Michigan. And this one has been getting a lot of publicity and a lot of talk just amongst school counselors, because this was an instance where counselors and admin and principals and teachers have been, I don't really want to say singled out, but people have been talking more in depth about what the role is or should be for people in these positions when it comes to things like threat assessment. Obviously, we are not here to specifically talk about just that one instance or what the counselors did or didn't do in that specific instance. We're all trained professionals, and I think anytime we have to do any type of threat and crisis assessment, we're all just using our best judgment in that moment. So this is really kind of a broader discussion of our own experiences, what we think we have responsibility for as counselors, what we would like to see, I guess, in our school districts, those types of things. So even though we're kind of using that as a vehicle to start this conversation, this isn't about that specific instance. It's just about threats and school shootings in general. So that little disclaimer out of the way, I'm going to start by asking, India, does your school have a specific threat assessment protocol that you specifically are involved in?
So I've only had to be involved in
it was last year in middle school, and a young man had stated he had guns, and
if I can remember correctly, he did say he was going to shoot someone after school, not necessarily shoot up the school, but we did do a threat assessment, and I was
called a crisis line that straight there in the room. I was in the room. Administrator was on the phone with the parent.
I called the crisis line. The administrator put the parent on the speakerphone so she can listen to the conversation between
the child and
mental health worker that was working. Our mental health crisis line really supports us
at the schools, because
have any doubt about even a suicidal ideation, I can call them and they can do the assessments, as well as they can do the assessments for the
threat.
So I was able to
by the phone,
because I
hadn't done one before. I really did
like
that type of
help and read.
So, so is that like a line specific to your district?
I never heard about this line until I got here.
Oh, I don't know if it's just specific to my district.
It may.
But when I called,
they took care of it. The mother asked, you know, the therapist online asked some questions to the mom. The mom answered the questions like, yes, they did have guns in the home.
And he did go hunting with his grandfather.
Allowed
to ever hold a gun without a lot of supervision.
So it became a thing where they felt like it was not a threat because he did not have immediate access to any of the guns that were locked up in the house. So they, you know, warned the young man, and then if you
make it start again, then we are going to take even more serious
action.
But again, you know, I almost said, which is the wrong thing to do. So let me just, I want to go ahead and
be transparent
through my mind.
Oh, he was only 12 years old, right? 12-year-olds know how to shoot guns. So you can't just say, oh, he's not going to do anything because he's 12. But what I did like was that the parents were so involved once we called.
It's like a no-brainer that they were
just as resolved
and adamant about getting this resolved and correcting him, providing their own discipline for his behavior versus
it being let go,
pushed
under, you know, the bridge and being left for us to wonder. So.
Yeah, I've only had
that.
Yeah, I've only had one instance too where a kid, and it wasn't even like a direct kind of threat. He just kind of said something offhand in the middle of just a long rant about everything. And it was a kid that I had a very several years relationship building up with, so it didn't really end up being anything. You know, it was a kid who had no access to anything. But one of the things one of my co-counselors and I have been talking about as this has been in the news is that, you know, we have stuff in place for crisis assessment for kids who talk about self-harming or suicide. When it gets to threats to the school, that's always handled by our admin. And we have had instances of threats on social media before that I think in every instance it was kind of, I don't want to say an empty threat, but kids just trying to get school canceled or just like, you know, just making really bad choices. But as counselors, we have not been pulled in to assist in any of those evaluations. And I think part of that is just because the threats are made outside of the school day. It gets to admin. They've already addressed it by the time that school day has started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we also, as far as I know I have not been pulled in for any follow-up. Although now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know that any of those threats were made by my specific students. So I may just not know. But one of the things we've been talking about is that we really do need to have a specific district school protocol for what is supposed to happen. Because at that school in Michigan, like a big thing that's going to come back because they're starting to face lawsuits is, did you follow what your district had in place?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be a huge factor to protect you if your district is, you know, says do X, Y, Z, and you've done that, then okay, you've done your due diligence. And like something we've talked about is, you know, people all have their opinions on what that school should and shouldn't have done, but we don't know what was actually said in the meeting with the administrator, principal, whoever it was, and the parents. For all we know, they asked if that kid had guns and the parents could have told them no. You know what I mean? Like you don't know because you weren't there. But just the necessity of having those steps and what they need to be, and what kind of follow up. And like one of the things, especially when that first happened, that I kept seeing were people saying that the school should have suspended this kid. That was before I had started seeing reports of all of his social media threats. I didn't see those till like days later. You know, the people were coming back with, you know, a school can't suspend a kid because they might do something, you know, and, you know, the school was right in the fact that, okay, we can't just send this kid home to sit by himself if he's a threat. You know, so I think just we've been talking about we need to really have a discussion with like our leadership in our building about like, hey, what are our official policies going to be? Or, you know, if there's something our admin team is already following, what like we should know at least what that is and where our role is if we do have, you know, because in the past if a threat's been brought to us, we've pushed it to admin, and every single time we've done that our admin has already known about it. But I think that's just coincidence or luck at this point,
right? And I feel like I'm gonna get some pushback with this. There's judgment calls, and as educators, we have to be careful not to let our relationship with the student or looking around to say, oh, there's nothing that happens here. These mm-hmm. are all good kids. And we live in that false sense of security because we think we know them. I know their mother. They live down there. You know, they've been a part of the community and they're not going to do anything. You can't say that. I don't mm-hmm. care with an honor student that look like Steve Urkel or Doogie Howser or whoever you want to compare them to. They have up their mind at any time to say, you know what, these things are happening and maybe this is how I want to take out my anger. But I would love to really see how all of this unfolds, because mm-hmm. somewhere a judgment call was made and someone right. thought that nothing was going to happen, whether because they knew the kid, talk with the kid in the off and talk to him all the time, or you know, regardless of what can happen, you know, what the relationship was.
Right.
Someone made that judgment call.
Yeah. And then I think there's like the other side of it is school counselors. We look at it from the perspective of like, what is even pressuring a kid to get to the point that they feel like their only option is to come shoot up a school. And historically, like when that happens, usually the school shooter ends up dead themselves. The fact this kid didn't is kind of an anomaly, because that takes a lot of whatever it is, bullying, perceived bullying, anxiety, whatever the causes for that kid to get to that point, then to make that plan, and then to actually follow through with that plan. Like, you know, I had mentioned the one kid kind of just said something offhand because he was just frustrated and ranting. And I knew that kid well enough to know that he was frustrating and ranting and just saying anything to try to get a reaction that he could, because I know that kid very well. And again, I still had to do a threat assessment. Like you said, just because I know that kid didn't mean that I didn't have to also assess for, okay, is there anything serious in this threat? Does this kid have access to a gun? Is he going to follow through with a plan? But like, what is happening to our kids that this is just a regular occurrence?
Well,
I mean, I know you don't have a session right.
Seriously, but
I'm a big believer.
And whatever you feed the subconscious, whatever you instill in the child, that's what's going out of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion. It doesn't have to be the audience opinion.
So,
whatever. If your child is doing nothing but watching fight videos all day, nothing but
looking at YouTube videos, fights, always getting. I mean, that's what do you think is going to come out? And at the same time, when you are teaching these skills, these supposed life skills of how to handle a gun.
Safety precautions with using firearms. Are you going through never pick up a gun if you're, you know what I mean?
If X, Y, and Z is happening, or go talk to somebody if this is happening before you touch this. I don't have the answers right now, and I'm not going to get into all those particulars, but there's
the ball being dropped. His parents are not, you know. They're not Edith and Archie Bunker. They're not
the Huxtables, of course. So, you know, even the parents are being charged with some things and they have some questionable behavior. But the apple never falls too far from the tree sometimes. And if they knew that this was kind of going on in their community
then, you know, they should have taken
it a lot more.
Yeah. Did you run into any, like, one of my friends who has a couple kids in the that go to school in the same district you work at, one of them, I don't know, a few days after that, they went into a, like, whatever their highest level lockdown is, because they had a student who made a threat, and it was, nothing happened, no one came, but they, like, put their entire school in lockdown just in case that kid showed up with a gun. Police were there, it was a whole thing. And so I think, you know, people talk about, like, everything schools should have to do. I've seen stuff where, you know, kids are designing things like bulletproof vests, I am always a little bit surprised at how often and that like the number of students I have that will just mention that they are sometimes afraid to come to school because of school shootings. And it's not because there's been specifically a threat or anything. It's just something that because they've grown up having to do drills and talk about it, that it's just a fear that they have that one day somebody is going to walk in and shoot up the school.
You know, unfortunately,
I listened to this gentleman a long time ago. If I can
find it, send it to you. But he was talking about how a gun does not, you know, only have, well, the gun limited is only limited in protecting you. If mm-hmm. the other
person is a better shooter, if they're quicker,
just
that doesn't mean you're going to stay alive. That just means that you're kind of fighting,
you know, fire with fire, as you could say. If they have one, you have one. This is kind of more equally yoked, but it doesn't mean that you're going to walk away from it. And they call it a false sense of security.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I don't know if it's
being instilled and it's not being balanced with peace. Like, you know, what does peace look like? When do, you know, we talk about mindfulness
with the kids, but is there a real huge push for conflict resolution, or is it just generation after generation figuring out
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I think it's.
And I'm just thinking about guns. Period. In a lot of
our, you know,
yeah,
kids that has great access.
They do, and like one of the things I was talking with my coworker about with that school in Michigan, I said, "Of course, he has access to guns. My mom and her family are from Michigan, and culturally, almost everyone." They hunt, they fish. That's just part of what you do. It's just a very outdoorsy type of, I don't know, just livelihood for a lot of people. Like, that's just part of what they do. And so a lot of, like you were saying, like, you know, 12-year-olds can have guns, and that's very communities. I grew up around guns because my dad hunted. I've never shot a gun in my life, and I don't feel like I need to, but I think there's an element of people feel a lack of power, and I think it goes to even when you talk about, like Karens, right, that are just those women, like, can I talk to a manager? People who would just, like, belittle folks that work in the service industry. Just how people talk and communicate, they feel like they lack some kind of power, and so they're just looking for any opportunity to try to assert that. And they, like you said, they don't have conflict resolution skills, so they're frustrated because they don't know how to approach a situation. And things just boil to this point, they get escalated, and now we're dealing with, I lose track of how many school shootings happen every year. Like, that should not be a common occurrence. It does not happen in other countries. This is a very American problem. You know, and it's, I think there's so many aspects. I think part of it's the conflict resolution. I think part of it is, you know, how easy it is for kids to have access to guns, and the quantity and types of guns they have access to. You know, a kid with a hunting rifle is different than a kid with a semi-automatic.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just...
I just don't see how...
You know,
about all the time. We said it many times. The brain is not
even mature until 25, 20. I'm not against bearing arms. I'm not against anything. When it comes to, you know, safe gun ownership, you know.
But
when you having kiddos
who are
even been properly diagnosed yet, if there's an issue, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that come up through life that different signs and symptoms come up as people get older. And you're giving them
access to this.
And I wouldn't even
put a gun
together.
Like, where does this go?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's, I'm just saying, like, where does this go? And I heard some people talk about, well, maybe, you know, he was being bullied. I don't know how true that is. But
bullying should never escalate
to the
feel that helpless.
Or
you have that much anger inside
30, 40, 15, 21 person out with a gun at school. There's too many policies that are supposed to be put in place. And when I found out that the one kiddo was really being bullied
to the point where they didn't want to come to school, frustration involved.
I highlighted that
policy for them and said, you need to
call him. This is dealing with this child's mental health. So, you know, if he was being bullied, the ball was
dropped there. discussed, you know, when all the, you know, details come out anyway.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Even if you're being bullied, at no point does that justify just shooting up a school. It just doesn't.
Absolutely.
That's where, did you know, you need to go to your counselor. You need to go to your parents and have them contact your counselor. Like, and we've talked a little bit about bullying before. We did a whole episode last year about bullying. And I've said this, and it still reigns true. The majority of the time, if a kid comes to me to say they're being bullied, they are usually being retaliated against because they started bullying the other party first. When it escalates to the point that they just, like, it's out of hand, that's really common. So to me, like, that it's sad that kids are bullied to the point that they feel like that's their only option, but it, by no means am I going to let that remotely be a justification for it. That's it, and it goes back to, like, you were saying, like, yep, we need mindfulness, but, like, conflict resolution skills. We need to learn how to talk to people.
That's what we have to do, because there's nobody saying that. The first thing they want to do is grab guns.
So there's something happened between I'm gonna fight this person and, you know, shoot the fair one.
Fight if I lose home. I might try to fight again to get my little, you know, reputation back. But if not, I lose, I shake hands, we move on. There's something that happened with that ego for a kid to think that the only but thing that they need
is to kill somebody.
Right.
People have been fighting since the beginning of time. Right. So it's not about the fight. And people might say, well, hell, they was killing too. Well, I get it. But at this point in time, in children, how did it
go from this to that?
You know, and
coverage we do of this type of thing, the more their brains think that it's okay.
Like, it's an awesome go, you know, I bet they won't do it again. I bet they'll realize not to, you know, bully anybody anymore. And that's just the wrong kind of mentality you have.
Right.
When it comes to this.
Absolutely. But I do think that this, again, like, just this recent incident in particular, just, I'm glad to see so many discussions about it among school counselors, because I do think it's important that we know what our role, like, what's expected of us from our school and our district, and that we have those communication things in place to try our best to keep kids safe. And adults and everybody in the building.
I'm being that, you know, to get kind of get back on.
If you don't know,
assessment. If you have a
ask your supervisor,
a fellow counselor,
social workers.
If you have the how to do it as well. Ask and see if your district has a crisis hotline where they do them. If you're not comfortable doing one yourself.
Because, like I said, the first time I did,
I had
really in this. And if you don't feel comfortable with that judgment call, then you can.
If hotline, then
utilize the hotline.
No, they're not ever going to tell you not to call, you know. So,
yeah, I think, I think we have to be conservative in the terms of, like, using our best judgment. And if you're, you know, if you have just an inkling of a reason to think that it's a valid assessment, you know, that you're doing an assessment and it's a valid threat, that you have to treat it as one, 100%.
Yep. So don't get too, you know, don't get too scared when you have one. Ask now what your resources are, and then you'll have them in your back pocket.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. So with that, are we ready to move on to self-care?
This year. I mean, you know, it's been
really, really trying for a lot. We are back in flu season. We are back in a place where the hospitals are saying they have more cases of COVID.
Well, this self-care is not really something that is
right.
It's just a reminder that we're still in a pandemic. And by you working in education,
you need to make sure if no one else, because you're like a first responder. You need to have your mask on. Try not to touch your mask. Try not to constantly touch it. I know we want to pull it up, but either put some hand sanitizer
on hand before or after
you mask up. So if there is COVID particles on your mask,
you can you know, go ahead and hand sanitizer on there and kill those germs.
So you don't mistakenly or your eye or your forehead and spread those germs around. And continue to wash your hands. I know I try to go into the, I try to drink more water now.
Long time ago. But if I
use that,
I could go now frequently and wash my hands through the day. And after I wash my hands with soap and water and I sing
the happy birthday song, I still like to put a dab of hand sanitizer on as I'm leaving after I, you know, touch the doorknob with a paper towel. I like to go ahead and rub some in my hands so I can have some clean hands.
So make sure
you are
don't let go. Don't get too comfortable. Now more than ever with the new variant out
and flu. My sister had an upper respiratory infection. We haven't seen those in a year or two. And people I know are catching the flu and other viruses. It's no time to put, you know, your guard down. So self-care is just,
you're still in COVID, still take care of yourself.
Yeah, nope, that's great. Actually, physical health is also important.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, I think that's all we have for everyone this week. We will be back to talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right.
Listen to us, two school counselors, every first and third Monday of the month, and sometimes in between. Join our conversation by following us on Twitter at Two Counselors. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast streaming services and share us with your friends.